Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. To the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, if you wouldn't mind, in chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're in our Sunday school series of truths that every Christian needs to know. And there are certain truths that every Christian needs to know. Every Christian needs to know how to explain from the Bible how they know for sure that they're going to heaven. Every Christian needs to know from the Bible the assurance that they know that they're going to heaven. Every Christian needs to know what they believe about the Bible, that the Bible is God's Word. Every Christian needs to know that God hears and answers prayer. Every Christian needs to know that giving is the key to God's blessing, that God has set up a thing, and that we don't bring the tithe, or give the tithe, we bring the tithe. That's already the Lord, and it's out of a worship thing. There's several things within the Bible that the Bible says that every Christian needs to know. We come to another important subject, one that is usually not very taught and not emphasized much, but yet as a Christian, it is something that we need to know. So if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and notice with me in verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says this. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you have it marking things in your Bible, mark this life-changing passage here. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that everything we need to live the Christian life is wrapped up in this verse here? Do you want a victorious Christian life? Well, the more that you live as a Christian, you realize that you can't live a victorious Christian life on your own. You can't do it. You'll fail. You fail miserably. Fail spectacularly. So how is it that we could live the Christian life? Well, it's not us. Only God can do His own work. Now, He wants to use human instrumentality, but in order for us to have the victorious Christian life, we must have this verse obeyed, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, before we dive into the intricacies of what that means, we have to start at the beginning. The beginning is that we are sinners, and because of our sin that we've offended a holy, righteous God. And that our only hope is Jesus Christ. And that the moment that we accept Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell within us. And we get all of the Holy Spirit we're going to get that day. We can't get any more because He's filled us completely. He's baptized us in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we're immersed in the Holy Spirit. However, the Holy Spirit does not get all of us. And that's the thing that we want to put attention to, is that we already receive the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not have control of us. When we talked about this, we understand that the moment that you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you were saved from the penalty of sin, meaning that you don't have to owe Jesus or God the debt of hell ever again. He saved you from the penalty of sin. And currently, because of the Holy Spirit, He has saved us from the power of sin, meaning we don't have to sin anymore. Anytime that we do sin, it's because we chose to sin. But can you imagine that God has given us His precious Spirit for the purpose that we could live a life, a victorious Christian life, where we don't have the dominion of sin ruling in our bodies, where we don't have to have, we could be used of God, not because of us, but because of who God is. So as we dive into this, let's see a couple things dealing with the Holy Spirit of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, let's understand the context of this passage. The context of this passage. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, that's something we need to do to redeem the time. The word redeem means to buy back. Have you ever had a day where it just seemed to be all wasted? And we look back and said, I could have done something with the time that I had, but it just blew away. Well, the Bible says we could redeem the time. We could use our time wisely. Verse number 7. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand that we can know what the will of God is? So many times we don't know, but we could know. So the Bible talks about redeeming the time, using our time wisely. The Bible says knowing what God's will is and following after that. It goes on. And verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart to the Lord, that our hearts can be pleasing to God. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Holy Spirit, that we're supposed to be thankful for all things. We know that there's sometimes in our flesh, we're not thankful for all things, but we should be thankful for all things. Verse 21, submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Here we come to the idea of submission. Submission is putting ourselves under the authority of one another. You understand, there are some times that it is hard to submit. Remember, submission doesn't come when you agree with authority. Submission comes when you disagree with authority and your heart's response to it. That you will either submit or you will rebel. That's your only two choices. You will submit to or rebel. Well, how in the world can you submit to someone that you don't agree with? Well, you can't do it of your own flesh. Not correctly and not lastingly. We need filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Now it talks about the family, that there's a role for the wives to do. How can the wife be the wife she ought to be? By being filled with the Spirit. How can a husband be the husband he ought to be? By filling with the Spirit. How can a daddy be the proper parent that he ought to be? By filling with the Holy Spirit. How can an employee be the proper employee that he ought to be? Being filled with the Spirit. So when we talked about being filled with the Spirit, this is a commandment of God. And if you would notice that there's nothing about preaching in this. Now, you understand you need to be filled with the Spirit for someone to preach or to teach. But this is talking about everyday life. That you need to be filled with God's Spirit in order to be the person you ought to be in everyday life. That in order to be the employee you ought to be, you need to be filled with the Spirit for everyday life. That in order for you to be the parent, in order for you just to be the person you ought to be filled with the Spirit in everyday life. So we could see the context of this passage is not just dealing with quote-unquote church work. To be filled with the Spirit is for two purposes, for testimony and for service. I can't think of a job that requires to be dead to self and to be filled with the Spirit more than being a parent, because kids like to push buttons, push, 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 poke, poke, poke. How do you respond properly? How do you raise a child to follow the Lord and have the heart for the Lord? The Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. To use our time wisely to be filled with the Spirit. So we hear the context of this and we understand that every believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to live the life that we ought to live. Every one of us should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us. So that's the context of it. Let's understand the second thing here. The command to be filled. The command to be filled. The Bible here in verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess. But be ye filled with the Spirit. Notice this isn't a suggestion. It doesn't say, well, it would be nice if you were filled with the Spirit. Well, this is something, you know, you might want to think about doing. This is something that would be beneficial. No, it doesn't say that. It says, be filled with the Spirit. You know what this means? It's a command. And if this is a biblical command, don't lose me now. Don't turn me off. You are either obeying this command or disobeying this command. Think about that. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are not obeying this verse, you're in disobedience to God. This is how important this verse is. Now, we know that there's some evidence of being filled with the Spirit. But you know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're guided by God. Notice again in verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Here it's doing a comparison to try to give an illustration. We all have seen drunkards, someone who is controlled by alcohol. And alcohol changes them. It changes their personality. That they would do things under alcohol that they normally would not do. You have someone that may be a little bit more timid. They may drink some alcohol and become outgoing in the life of the party. It gives them boldness to be something that they're normally not. Some people, it lets out a violent. But we all know people that it changes them. They're different under alcohol. The same thing is true being filled with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit can give us boldness to do stuff that we normally can't do. For example, how many of you have a hard time asking people the question, are you 100% sure if you die today you go to heaven? It's not in your nature where you can normally go up. Well, you know how you solve that? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit gives you the boldness because it is God that's guiding you to go talk to someone about a subject that you normally wouldn't talk about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. You understand this is part of our everyday thing. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that boldness. We need the guidance by faith that we need God's will. How can He guide us? By us surrendering our control and letting Him be in control. In order to have the fruits of the Spirit. Hold your finger here and let's actually look at the fruits of the Spirit. We're book of Ephesians, turn backwards to the book of Galatians, which is the next book back in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. The book of Galatians, chapter number 5. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, it talks about the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. Remember that when you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get. However, you also have another nature that was already there previously, and that's your flesh. And the flesh and the spirit are in war with each other. They're constantly fighting with each other. And you want to know, how do I know that I'm in the flesh? Well, the Bible says, let's not make you guess or see what you feel like. Let's see what the Bible says. Notice with me, if you don't mind, starting in verse number 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that these are contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would. We know that there's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. They're fighting against each other. They're at war with each other. Verse number 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Here it's talking about that if you are led by the Spirit, which is what we're trying to speak about, that you don't need a bunch of rules to tell you what to do. That God will guide you into righteousness automatically. Notice in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest or made apparent, which are these. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Here it goes through a list dealing with the fruits of the flesh. We understand we have two natures, the flesh and the spirit. When the flesh is in control, these are the things that come out. So, basically, if these are what are manifesting in your life at the moment, you are not filled with the Spirit, as long as any of these are true. And so, someone who's thinking about sexual things outside of marriage, you are not filled with the Spirit. Someone who is thinking about sinful things, you are not filled with the Spirit. People who are thinking about worshiping things other than God. Now, that goes into a lot of different things, because we can worship ourselves when it's all about me, how I feel, how others make me feel. That person over there, something happened to them. Well, this is how it affects me. You are not filled with the Spirit. Witchcraft, hatred. If you're aggravated with someone, you are not filled with the Spirit. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs that only by pride cometh forth contentions. That any time that you are contentious with someone, you're in a fight with an argument, you're thinking about ways to correct them, then you are in the flesh. You are not filled with the Spirit. God's not in control. You are. Seditions, heresies, envyings. If you are jealous over someone, that person treats someone else better than they treat me. You're in the flesh. You are not in the Spirit. Murders, drunkenness, revelings. You feel like yelling at people? That's making fun of people. You're not in the Spirit. You're in the flesh. And so these are evidences, internal checks. Am I in the flesh or in the Spirit? Let's see what is manifest. Let's see what is coming out. Well, if the flesh is in charge, this is what it is. And as long as the flesh is in charge, you are not filled with the Spirit, because it is not 50-50. It is either 100% flesh or 100% Spirit. It does not go 50-50 or 75. It does not go into a mixture. Notice verse 22. Now it switches to the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now remember, this is not the fruit of a Christian. This is not the fruit that you could produce, because you can't produce this. This only comes when God is in control and you and God is in control of you. You are surrendered. Your flesh is dead. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then it reminds us, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Which is another way of saying, hey, if the Spirit's in you, you might as well let Him be in charge. It's a lot better to let Him be in charge. So as we come here, we understand that there is a commandment to be filled. And there is clear evidence that you are filled or you are not filled with the Spirit. But God will give us boldness. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, you don't have to turn there. The disciples had just been told, don't preach in the name of Jesus again, or we're going to lock you up again and put you back in prison. They just escaped, or just were released from prison. So they went up to God in prayer, which is a good thing, and said, God, we want to do what you told us to do, but we're scared. We don't know what to do. And you know what happened? As they surrendered themselves, God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they had boldness to go back out there and tell people about the Lord. That's where it came from. You need boldness to live the Christian life? Well, it doesn't come from you working it up. It doesn't come from you picking yourself up by the bootstraps. It comes from you dying to self and saying, I need Jesus. God, you be in charge. I can't do it. When we are not filled with the Spirit, we live carnal lives. We're living lives that our flesh is in control, and it will come up with things. Do you know that your flesh can even do good things? There's people who do lots of good things in their own flesh, but when it's all said and done, that stuff doesn't count because it wasn't God doing it. You can only reap the results of what your flesh can do. So we understand this is a command, and anyone that is not filled with the Spirit is disobedient to that command. Why is God making it a command? Because He's doing it because He loves us. When we live our life on our own, we mess it up. We mess it up horribly bad. We must have Jesus. So we start with the context of the passage. Then we come to the command to be filled, followed up with the conditions of the filling. We talked about how important it is, and it's a command to be filled. Now we come to the practical, the nitty-gritty. How can I be filled? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the ministry of the Holy Spirit's main purpose is to magnify Jesus Christ. And we need this filling, most importantly, for the glory and honor of the Savior. So, in order to be filled with the Spirit, the Bible has a couple different ways of explaining it. Let's do it this way, if you don't mind. First of all, turn with me to the Gospel record of John, chapter 7. The gospel record of John chapter 7. The gospel record of John chapter 7. And notice with me, as Jesus Christ is explaining the principle of here, he uses an illustration in verse number 37. John chapter 7 and verse 37, the Bible says this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because Jesus was not glorified." Here we come to the principle here that Jesus said that any man that thirst, come unto me. So here's the first principle of it. Thirst. You have to have a thirsting for it. Why do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? As long as it's a take it or leave it type of thing, you'll leave it every time. Does that make sense? It's something that you have to want. God will not force himself upon you. It is something that you have to willfully, on your own, give. You have to surrender yourself. You have to die to self. That doesn't happen partially, and it doesn't happen if you're not willing. If you're not willing to die to self, it's not going to work. You have to thirst for it. God, I need your power. I cannot do this on my own. I need you. I want you. I desire to have this. It starts off with thirsting, that you have to thirst for it. You have to desire it, recognizing that you need it. This is why so many people are not filled with the Holy Spirit, because they don't want it. They could recognize some preacher explaining and knowing why they need it, but then it comes the idea that your flesh has to die, and they don't want their flesh to die. They don't want to be surrendered to God. They still want to be in charge. You know, the wonderful thing about the power of God is that it doesn't come because we earned it. It didn't come because we summoned it. It doesn't come because we're the biggest and best. It comes when we surrender. It's the only type of power in all the world that comes when we surrender. We surrender our goals, our desires, our ambitions, our way. Lord, I'm tired of living the way that I want. I give it all up. You just tell me what to do. But it has to come with thirsting and a desire. Without that thirsting, without that desire for it, you won't be filled with the Spirit. You'll still live in the flesh. In addition, it starts with a thirst. You have to desire it. But notice this. You also have to believe. Notice with me in verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here we see the condition that you have to ask for it. You're not filled with the Spirit by accident. You don't wake up one morning and go, "Woohoo! This is wonderful." You have to desire it, and then you have to ask for it. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I recognize I need your help. Lord, I recognize I can't do this today. I need you. That's where it starts with. You have to ask for it. Without the asking, it doesn't come. Believing on him. Lord, I trust you. I asked for it, and you promised me. This is one of the conditional things. If we ask, guess what he promised? He'll do it. He'll fill us. That's quite simple. You say, "Well, I don't feel any different." Being filled with the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with the promise of God. I desire to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit. So God, the best I know how, I surrender myself to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit. Let me tell you, the lights don't turn brighter. A little ray of sunshine doesn't hit you. You don't have a choir of angels going, "Ah." But what happens is that God does what he's going to do without fanfare. He just agrees to it. If you do your part, he said he'll do his part. God is a conditional God. He has already stepped forward and said, if you do this, this is what I'll do. And he waits for us to take the invitation to take his hand and say, okay, I'll take that. I'll do that. And God says, all right, you did this. Now I'll do this for you. But we have to believe and trust him and accept it. And God will fill us with the Spirit because he promised. Then we come to the third condition, which I've already mentioned. We have to ask for it. We have to ask for it. Do you believe that God will fill you with the Spirit? Yes. Then ask for it. Ask for it. The Bible talks about in Luke 11, when Jesus is teaching about prayer, that he said, how much more will he give his Spirit to them that ask? How much more shall he give his Spirit to them that ask? That's pretty simple, isn't it? How much more will he give his Spirit to them that ask? Just ask for it. You understand, you don't have to go through a extravagant ritual. You don't have to get candles and set it to certain locations in your house and sit cross-legged and go, You just come to the place where you recognize, I need him. I can't do this. I'm going to mess it up. Lord, I need you and I need you now. You come to the idea where you surrender yourself. Lord, I give you my thoughts, my ambitions, my goals, my desires, my obedience. I give it to you all. You take it and you guide me. You do what's best. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You believe that God could do it and you ask. And again, you're not going to get fireworks. You're not going to get a fuzzy feeling. But you trust God at his word and step forward. And God said he will do it. Do you believe him? But again, we understand we can't live the Christian life ourselves. It is silly to try to do God's work without God. It is silly to live the Christian life without Christ. We can't do it. Only God can. And remember, in the context that we hit before, it's not dealing with the idea of preaching. It carries the idea of everyday life. You want to use your time wisely? Be filled with the Spirit. You want to get to the place where you know what God's will is and God is guiding you into his will? Be filled with the Spirit. You want to come to the place where you have the ability to sing in the midst of hard times? Be filled with the Spirit. You want to be the place where you're the best mother, where you're the proper father, you're the best wife, the best husband, the best employee? Be filled with the Spirit. This is the key to the victorious Christian life. You cannot have the victorious Christian life without Christ, without being filled with his Spirit. This here is the most important message a Christian can know for themselves, that they can be filled with God's Spirit, that they are commanded to be with God's Spirit, and that because it's a command and you know about it, you're either going to obey or disobey. As we have practical things within our church that we're encouraging people to ask someone, everyone in our church, ask someone once a week. How does that get done? To be filled with the Spirit. To have the boldness to go there. You say, I don't know who to ask. Well, God will guide you if the Holy Spirit's in charge. Let me tell you, again, we're turning to practical. There's nothing like being dead to self and saying, God, you're in charge. And as you're going along doing your day, God says, go talk to that person. And it's not like it's a voice in your head, but it's just as real if it was a voice. And you know that you're supposed to go and talk to them. How did you know? God guides you. He's the Holy Spirit. He's real. He put you. It's amazing. It's unexplainable, but that's how God does. He says, go give him a track. Yes, sir. But that happens when God is in control. He's your guide. when you're praying out loud or praying to yourself, and God prompts you to pray for someone. It's usually not by accident. God is prompting you. He's guiding you. Pray for that person. Okay, if God places someone in your mind, It's because he's wanting you to pray for them. God's able to guide, which I'm trying not to dive into next week's lesson, which is that God is able to guide us. We talked about being filled with the Spirit, but God is able to guide us. He's able to guide us in all things. We're excited for this next lesson, but we have to start here. We cannot live the Christian life on our own. We will fail, we'll mess it up. So only God can do his work. So he's enabled us to be able to live the Christian life. He gave us the Holy Spirit who indwelled in us the moment of salvation. And because he dwells with us, we don't have to find him again. We don't have to search where he's at. He's already here. We just have to allow him to be in charge. We step back, he steps forward, and he's now in charge. And he can give us the boldness and the power to do things that we normally wouldn't have the boldness and power to do. This is the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.